Bex is in because it's a Wednesday, and Seb is here as well.
Hello, hello, hello.
Now, you were here last year.
Yeah, that's right.
We were obviously in a different studio.
Yeah, I was.
We're bringing awareness to autism.
Yeah, that's right.
And Asperger's.
Asperger's is actually on the autism spectrum.
Right, which is, I mean, if you've got, which is worst? Having autism, and is there a difference?
Not really. I mean, basically, you get different types of Asperger's, different degrees of autism. And basically, depending on how strong it is, I mean, you can get people with autism, which are absolutely, they can't look after themselves one bit. I kid you not.
And yet, I've heard stories where a particular person that I know, he's been told you've got to clean your teeth for, I don't know, I think it's 90 seconds. So he basically, just say for instance, you've got a little egg timer there.
Yeah.
If that was a 90-second egg timer,
he
would do that, and he would do his teeth. He would clean his teeth like that. So yeah. He's doing everything by the book.
Yeah, he does. People do things quite literally. I mean, if somebody told me to get out of the car, I would. I wouldn't hesitate. And we do take things very seriously. I mean, because that's one of the problems with is that we're prone to extreme forms of anxiety.
Here's an example. I hope you don't mind, Seb.
Not at all.
I went and did the craft evening, didn't I?
Down yes,
at King
I did.
Lud last night. And Seb and his dad went to dinner and came and joined me later.
Yeah.
And as Seb walked into the pub, someone fell over. And Simon said to him jokingly, "Oh, look at that, Seb. You walk in the pub and people fall over." And that really worried Seb.
Yeah, it did.
Didn't it?
Yeah, I sort of reverted to a much simpler state. What that means is I went inside myself. That's one of the coping strategies, which I use. I mean, people with Asperger's will try and isolate themselves sometimes because we find that the world can be very, very scary and very off-putting because we have to fight the never-ending, what could be described as a never-ending battle. I know that's probably putting it to extremes, but
I mean, it must be fascinating but hard and all these sorts of walking into a pub and having to cope. Do you know what I mean?
It's
like we sort of. I mean, I look at life and I think, okay, when was the last time you had to really cope? Not really. I can't remember the last time. But on a daily basis, do you? I mean, you must be in these situations all the time.
Yes,
you have
I do.
To cope.
Yeah.
You have to go inside yourself
all the time.
And do something so you
all
actually get
time.
Through it. What happens if you don't?
Well, to be quite frank, if I don't cope.
No, if you just say, for instance, if you didn't, there must be a button, some kind of release or something that happened yesterday.
Yesterday, I just, because the thing that happened, I just went inside myself. I literally went inside just to shut myself off.
But what would happen if you didn't? If you didn't,
if I didn't shut myself off, that would literally start. The anxiety would just start building and building and building because I did have a mental breakdown back in 2007 with anxiety, and literally I couldn't deal with that. And if I hadn't done what I did, I would have literally started, the anxiety levels would have been building and building and building. This is if I hadn't, had the treatment which I've had, and I would have been at a complete loss, and just I would have my conscience, because this is one of the things we are, is we're very honest, reliable, dedicated and determined people. That's what we are, because those are positive attributes of Asperger's, and we kind of will keep on, these thoughts just keep on bothering us. They just keep on churning the thought over and over again in my head, and I started to actually do that.
Okay.
Because I thought, hold on, I must have done something very, very wrong here. And so I became very unsure of everybody. I've been unsure of my mother, my father, everybody. In my family, I do get like that. And quite often, I will have to shut myself off from everybody because I feel as if I don't, I'll go mad. because there's certain things which I have to deal with, which, because you can't actually see Asperger's, you can't actually see there's something wrong, doesn't always mean there is. It doesn't mean there isn't, you know, because you will look at somebody with Asperger's, or somebody that does have Asperger's, and you won't be able to tell they've got it, unless you look at for the key signs, they come to this and whatnot. But
I've got to ask you loads. I'm going to fire some questions there, because just say, for instance, if I was a parent, or if I'm listening to this now, I want to get as much information.
Yeah,
as
sure.
So forgive the bizarre.
Go for it.
The bizarre type go questions. For it. You mentioned you were in a pub.
Yes.
Okay. So can you drink alcohol?
Yes.
Do you drink alcohol?
Yeah.
Does it affect your Asperger's? Does it help?
Depends on what. I mean, some people with Asperger's don't drink alcohol because they are so deeply within themselves. They can't really. How can I say? Look after themselves. But then I'm what you would call a high functioning Aspergic person. Whereas I can drink alcohol, and the effect it has on me, I mean, it can have different effects, because we get very frustrated, and with obviously the world around us, because we can't understand what is going on all the time, which we can't. Some people will be violent, but for me, it's had the effect of calming me down, making me more willing to talk to people.
So do you? I mean, you know, that's kind of, you live in a scary world, because.
Yes.
Knowing that might turn you to drink.
Yeah, but I take the view that because I was raised by my mother, she taught me an awful lot, and you've got to have the common sense to actually think, say, look, alcohol in small amounts is okay. You've got to have the common sense to it.
Good.
And a lot of people say, my best friend said, look, Seb doesn't have any common sense at all. I would disagree with that, because I think if you're aware of what you've got, then you've always got to make allowances that not everybody's going to understand you at all. I mean, when I walked in last time, I was nervous as anything meeting you, because I had no idea how you were going to react to me at all.
What are your fears, though? When you meet some idiot like me?
Well, I wouldn't class you as an idiot. I think that's too harsh.
I'm joking, and that's one of the things you don't see.
No, I don't. I don't get sarcasm at all.
No, so you know, I wasn't being sarcastic. Mm. It was kind of my
your humour. Yeah, but I wouldn't get that at all.
See, this is good, because we're bringing this to people's attention,
yeah.
And people will look at that and think, right, okay, well, how do we address that? Can we address that?
You can, because anyone who knows somebody with Asperger's, you've got to tell them, look, we were only joking. I mean, 9 times out of 10, when people do joke, what they call joking, I will go, hey, what are you talking about? I'll take them literally.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking, I don't know whether this was on air or off air before, we were talking about if you just say, for instance, let's pluck a comedian out of the air, Lee Evans, love Lee Evans. You probably like a little bit of Lee Evans as well, because there's a little bit of slapstick in there, maybe. But you wouldn't get the crack. You wouldn't
get
the joke.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, a lot of these comedians who do on TV, I'd just look at them and go, okay, how is that funny?
So, I mean, I look at it now and I think, why aren't there aspergic, is that the term you use?
Yeah, aspergic.
Autistic comedians.
Autistic, I mean, is better.
I'm looking at it and thinking, why don't they have an autistic channel then?
They should.
A TV channel. So, you know, you guys can and ladies as well. Not that I've met too many ladies.
There are ladies with Asperger's. Like I said when we were off air, Marilyn Monroe is somebody with Asperger's. I mean, I don't encounter many women when I go to the autistic club, because it is majority hereditary. I mean, Asperger's is a hereditary condition. Mostly men have got it. Don't know why, but it is sort of, well, in the gene pool. I mean, I probably got it from my father. I don't know.
Do you blame him? Do you sort of feel?
No, not at all.
No.
I mean, my mother and I, she feels a lot of pity the fact I have got it, but I take the view, look, yes, I might have Asperger's, which I do, which I've been diagnosed in the last year. But I take the view, yeah, I've got Asperger's. So what? Some people have it much harder than I do, and they don't have it.
I mean, this is going to sound like a really, really daft question, but yeah. do you ever feel like you wish you were someone else?
Quite a lot. I have. No, it's not a daft question at all. In fact, it's quite a reasonable question to ask. Have I felt that in the past? Yes. Have I wondered what it would be like if I didn't have this condition? Yes, I do. But when I think about it, and I put scenarios like that in my head, if I didn't have Asperger's, then I wouldn't be me.
Exactly. I mean, you're unique.
Yeah.
You are. You're
I mean,
you're
people
unique.
With Asperger's can be very intelligent. I haven't found my niche market in what I'm super intelligent in, but...
You stole that from me. You stole that super intelligent from
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I did, admittedly, yeah. Only because you're a good presenter. It's only because you're a good person.
Well, it's only because you're making a great guest. You really are. And, you know, I think this is fascinating. And I hope that this is helpful, and I bet you do too.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
One thing I love doing is I love helping people. I mean, if any parents out there want to speak to me, feel free. I have got no problem in helping people. Whenever I'm at home base, I've encountered about three people, and literally I gave them a list of charities and people like that. If you think your child does have Asperger's, you know, I'll tell you now, a lot of doctors, they don't know what they're talking about. I've encountered that.
Why don't they?
Because I think with doctors, because it's such a wide-ranging condition, because it can be so mild in some people and yet so prominent in others, people are just like, okay, I mean, these autistic tests, which would say I wouldn't even have got it online, and it's like, What are you talking about? Of course I've got it. I mean, what you really need... I mean, there are places like... Here's another website for you. www.Asperger's Syndrome-me. And what that site does is it lists all the symptoms in much more detail than what I've got it today for you. And literally, it's like... You don't have to have all of it... But if you've got some of it, I mean, I've worked on shop in Homebase in Maidenhead for over seven years now, and it's like, I look at kids, and I think they're being hyperactive, but then I can tell just by looking at a kid I've dealt with a kid who had Asperger's, and literally. The parents were worried because I actually spoke to the parents for about 20 minutes, and they were like, they were really worried about the child because they could not understand what was going on inside the head of somebody with Asperger's, because obviously it helps to speak to somebody, you know, like myself. So if any of you parents out there want to ring in and speak to me about what it's actually like on a daily basis, believe me, I am perfectly willing to answer any questions might have and the sensations, because I'll tell you now, for the child, the world can be very confusing. You must, if you see the children experiencing anxiety, you've got to let them know about things. You've got to tell them. Because you've got to ask them, what are you getting anxious about? I know it can be quite easy just to fob it off, but I'll tell you now, I was suffering from anxiety for 15 years. I had a mental breakdown with it in 2007, and I'll tell you now, by the end of it, I was having anxiety attacks that lasted 13 hours. I'll repeat that again, 13 hours. And I'll tell you now, it literally destroyed my insides. Which is not pleasant.
At what age were you diagnosed?
With
Asperger's, yeah.
Literally last year.
So diagnosed?
Yeah. I diagnosed myself.
So you're 30 now, so you had to wait until you were 29?
Yep.
So you didn't, for 29 years, I mean, obviously, hard to detect when you're a little baby, crawling around on the floor, I would imagine, unless there is some...
I was stamped when I was 5 years old, but the educational psychologist always suspected that I had Asperger's, but it was never thoroughly confirmed until last July I started speaking to my mother about it and said, yeah, it was always suspected that you had it. So what I did is I did my own little bit of research and I came up with the stuff from the Asperger's Foundation fact sheets, which one of it being what is Asperger's, and it detailed, and literally I made a self-diagnosis. I did a critical analysis of that and I sat down with my mum and did this, and it's like, it's said, look, I read all the traits and I thought, yeah, that's me to a T.
So you had to wait 20... I had no idea, but just by talking to you this morning, I thought you were diagnosed some years ago.
No,
29. Do you feel the system's let you down?
Yeah. I mean, some people don't get diagnosed until they're 40.
I have spoken to... Funny enough, it's reminded that a lady that was... She's got two young children.
Mm.
I think one of them was diagnosed with... And he was the most interesting young character I think I've ever met at that particular age. Mm. He was about sort of 6 or 7. And I remember having a conversation with him. And he was talking about music. And he went into Peter Gabriel. And he was telling us that everything that was on this album...
Yeah, probably has got Asperger's.
This kid was only 7 and he knew his music, but his mum apparently was diagnosed and she was about 45.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are levels, and I would say that you are a kind of a higher level.
Yeah, I am classed as a high-functioning member of Asperger's, a high-functioning Asperger's.
Do you want to take a call?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, let's hope it's not a wrong number.
Hi, hello, you're talking to Sebastian. How can I help you?
Hi, Seb.
Hello.
It's your dad.
Hi, Dad.
Have you ever had the blood test?
I just thought, Ian, that aside from the fact that you've now probably realised that you've got engaged with the most loquacious family in the world, and that one of our characteristics is all of us can talk.
Yeah.
I just thought you might find it interesting to have a parent's perspective, and particularly a perspective from somebody where Seb and I didn't actually meet and get together until he was 16 years old.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, crikey. Hang on, I'm still trying to work out, what was that, loquacious?
Loquacious.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've learned something today.
So I didn't, I've never even heard of that word. Dad, can you please repeat what that means, sorry?
It means we speak a lot.
Okay, yeah. That is common with Asperger's.
And true. You do speak a lot.
I've got a wife who talks a lot as well, Ian. So, as you know.
You're dead.
So, do you want to go into detail about meeting Seb when he was 16?
Yeah, that's fine. I don't mind.
You want to? I mean, I didn't meet my dad until I was 37. So trump that.
But it really, really interesting, because I just didn't get it at all.
Right.
I met somebody where there was clearly, I mean, there's obviously tension anyway when you meet at that stage. And Seb was a 16-year-old young man, and much harder for him, much harder for him than it was for me.
Yeah.
But 16-year-old guy, but it was just incredibly difficult to connect, because I had no understanding of what Asperger's was. And at that stage, you know, Seb didn't know exactly what it was, so we couldn't even look it up and understand it together.
But the
classic characteristic of Seb sees everything either as black or white, and there is no grey in life at all, made it very difficult to understand how we would communicate together and to find a way, in fact, to connect.
That it was very definite.
Both of us struggled. Do you agree, Seb?
Absolutely. I mean, it made things exceptionally hard because I was never sure about what you can do next, as we've talked about.
And what's happened, Ian, over the years is I've developed a bit of an understanding, helped hugely by Bex because of her background as a psychiatric nurse and what have you, and actually a much better bloody parent than I am. So I've been helped hugely by Bex in trying to understand it, but also I've been helped massively by Seb, because Seb has what he's done is not just accept that he has a condition that is not his fault, nothing to do with him. What he's done is he's gone out and researched it. He started to take control of his own life in a way that I think, well, first of all, it makes me hugely proud of him and what he's done. But he started to take control of it, and he explains it to me. And we do have these moments, like we had in the pub last night.
Yeah, we did.
There was a bloke who was completely hammered, sitting at the bar, and he fell off the bar stool. And I literally just said, there you go, Seb, you walk in the pub and everybody falls over. Seb just froze.
Yeah, I did.
Didn't know how to react because he took it literally that I meant he walks into pubs and people fall over and it must be his fault.
Yeah.
What would have happened if you hadn't have said that?
What would happen if I hadn't have said that?
Yeah, if you hadn't said, I'm not trying to make you feel bad or anything like
that.
No. But what would have happened if you hadn't have said that?
What, and the bloke had just fallen over?
He would have just turned around and gone, oh, look, somebody's fallen on the floor.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have related it back to himself. Because I made a callous comment, and this is the whole thing about
It's not, though, is it? It's not a callous comment. With the point I'm trying to make, so you have to be like really, really careful of what you say when you're around Seb.
Well, yes and no, because one of the arguments I have is that if all of us tippy-toe round Seb and never say anything that might make him react, you know, the reality is it's a big wide world out there. And the difference between Seb will now say to me sometimes, he'll look at me and he'll go, you're teasing. When I first met Seb, the concept of teasing, he just didn't understand.
No,
he still
didn't.
Finds it difficult to grasp. But he recognises that today that I might have said something that might be teasing and therefore he shouldn't get upset.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I'll agree with, it's not so much about the parents treading on eggshells. For the children, it's more like we are the ones treading on eggshells because we've got to be so careful what we say to other people.
And that, Ian, is one of the characteristics that Seb will put disciplines himself in a way that I have never seen anybody. That he will control himself and not allow himself to say things like, you know, that the Speedway guys are all a bunch of wimps. I mean, the fact they don't have brakes on those bikes, actually, that changes the thing. But, you know, Seb would never say anything like that because he doesn't know whether it's acceptable or not to say. So he puts this discipline on himself that is a massive stress on his life as it is.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, you know, to hear him on the radio today is actually, I'm hugely proud of the fact that, you know, last night he sat and researched it and what have you, nervous as hell this morning, but goes on the radio and goes to do it because he cares about it and wants other people to get it as well.
Yeah.
I think that's massive.
And I do care about other people with Asperger's because I do think there is a lot of ignorance out there, and which, Dad, you would agree with me on that one.
Oh, listen, I know 20% of probably what I need to know. But the difference is, Ian, is whilst, you know, we find it tough sometimes, we have a relationship that we couldn't have had 10-15 years ago, because now at least I get and understand where he's coming from. I don't always get it right. No, I get it probably right only 40% of the time.
Yeah, I mean,
and 60% of the time I get it wrong, and I'm putting my arm around his shoulder and saying, oh, whoops, I got that wrong, didn't I?
So, yeah, you do. I mean, but I'll tell you now, Dad, you know, because you've been there for me, you've helped me, that has meant a great deal to me. That really has.
Well, all I'm saying is for parents,
yeah,
for parents, what I'd urge parents to do, any parents who are listening, is, God, it's tough. But if it's tough on us, it's a darn sight tougher on the person who's got Asperger's.
It is very sight tougher.
And the other thing I would say is do the research.
Yeah, do
and
it.
And read about the characteristics.
Yeah.
And then you'll understand that when somebody with Asperger's or an autistic doesn't get a joke or reacts to a joke or takes it literally and goes into a shell because they don't know how to react,
yeah,
is don't worry, talk about it, get open about it, you know, read and understand those characteristics, because actually one of the characteristics of people who have Asperger's is huge loyalty, honesty, and a passion and a caring for other people.
Definitely.
There you are, Ian. I'll go now. I've talked too much.
No, thanks for coming on. You make a difference, and you do, not just on the air, but you obviously make a difference off air as well.
Yeah, he does. I mean, my father's been there, and you know, he's one of the things he's done for me, and I'll never forget is the fact that when my mother was going to talk to him about anxiety, is the fact when he, this was when I was about, oh gosh, about 18 or something, 18, 19, 20 odd, is the fact he came and picked me up from my home, this when he was living in Edenbridge, and we, the whole way down, we spoke about anxiety, and literally he got an understanding of just how bad it affected me. The fact that I can, when an anxiety attack happens, is that I can feel every muscle in my body and all that, and literally I seem to go into a sense of hyperstimulation. And what that means in layman's terms is the fact that I can any single bit of movement, like that knock, that noise I just made on the table, I'd have picked up on that in a microsecond. I'd just gone right bang, I'm onto it. Anything that moves.
What we agreed between us, Seb,
yeah,
if you remember, is as soon as I spotted it,
yeah,
right, and the physical symptoms of you going into a stress state,
yeah,
become fairly obvious fairly quickly.
Yeah, they do.
Is we'd stop.
Yeah.
Whatever we were doing, we'd stop.
Yeah.
And I'd put my arm around him and we'd just start to breathe slowly, yeah, and come down from the anxiety,
yeah,
and actually start to try and understand what it was, what maybe I'd done that had triggered it.
Yeah.
So that we understand it for the next time.
Absolutely, and it wasn't something that was easy.
No. No, darn sight harder for you.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm used to.
Hey, look, it's great to talk to you.
All right,
and thanks for calling.
All right.
Cheers now. Bye.
Bye.
24 minutes away from 1. This is Vectis Radio. It's the phone in. We've got Bex in. I've never known her so quiet. And also we've got Seb in, and we're fighting to get a word in with Seb because he's got more rabbit than Sainsbury's. That was a joke, but...
Okay.
Our poor attempt at humour, you see.
I wouldn't understand that.
I'm still amazed that, you know, you were 29 when you were actually...
Yeah, that's right.
You know, detected, if that's the correct term.
No, I sort of took it upon
myself. You did it.
I took it upon myself.
You did it.
Yeah, my doctor, Dr. Stavash, at the Cedar Surgery in Mainland, I said, look, I want to get an official diagnosis because it does make things easier for me, and I basically brought in, took in these leaflets from the Asperger's Syndrome Foundation, which I got online, and literally I said, look, these are my characteristics, this is what I've got. And he goes, okay, you're an honest person, it's okay. That was it.
Right, okay.
And he clearly didn't really know that much about it.
But looking at it from the positive side of things, because you did it,
yeah.
Because you did it, does that give you the strength? Does that give you the? Just say, for instance, if somebody, you went into a room age 30 and someone said, or 29, somebody said, "Well, this is what you have." Did, because you've taken it off your own back and you've kind of in control.
Yeah.
I mean, does that now stand you in good stead for the future?
It does, insofar as say that it just helps me just go. Yeah, I've got Asperger's. It took me a year to fully deal with it. And I took it upon myself to do it because I thought, right, okay. You know, I need to know what I am. It took me a year to accept it. And sometimes I did admittedly go, oh, poor me. But...
Yeah, but we all do that. That's a human.
But what I mean is I... sort of when tried to get sympathy from everybody, which was not good. I mean, some of the things, another characteristic of Asperger's is we're open to be misinterpreted an awful lot, primarily because we did black and white talk, and I did dramatise it a little bit during that time. It's because I didn't fully accept what I was for myself.
Yeah, but come on, you must have had so many different emotions going on, and it must have, you know, all those years that it was, it was probably apparent to people if they'd only had a look, you know, all of a sudden, yeah. You've done that, you've taken it upon yourself.
Yes.
And you've done that, you've put yourself in control, and then all of a sudden, this, you know, you must have had so many different emotions, so to have a little wobble and a little woe is me moment, I reckon it's all right. I don't reckon that's a problem at all.
It depends on how you look at it. I mean, yes, I finally knew who I was, but at the end of the day, there's only so much. I mean, people with Asperger's, we don't always want sympathy.
No.
But what we do want is understanding. I was getting a lot of understanding. I mean, from some people I did. But I remember particularly dealing with the anxiety, because that played a major part of my life, played part because I started experiencing anxiety when I was 11. Then for the next 15 years, it got worse and worse and worse and worse. It got so bad that it was literally ruining my life. And something else with Asperger's, we're prone to depression. And obsessive compulsive disorder, that's all part of it.
Are you in a depressed state at the moment?
Not at the moment, but I did suffer from depression for a year.
Okay.
Between September 2005 to September 2006, I was depressed.
Okay.
I mean, I have had, you know, obsessive compulsive disorder, that is me to a T. I mean, I've had all these different aspects of the condition, and have I had a car accident? Yes, I have, because some people with Asperger's don't even drive, primarily because of our spatial awareness. But I had a car accident in 2009, February 2009, and it was like, okay.
You were driving, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I drove out of my road, out of my driveway. Forwards. Now, because our road was so narrow, they had traffic blocking both sides, so I couldn't actually see the taxi. And basically, one of the factors was, because I've been on medication since November 2007 for the anxiety, to which I'm still on it today, I was scared about, you know, running out of the pills.
So what happens? What happens? You must think, right, okay, if I run out of pills, what happens?
I was scared of reverting to being completely out of control with anxiety. And I got in the car when I shouldn't have done, and smash came out of my drive because a normal road is two car widths. Our road was like barely two car widths, and there were cars parked in the road on both sides of the road, so really reduced to one car width.
Right.
On both sides, opposite the in my drive, left and right, and I couldn't see this taxi coming.
Okay. So and smash.
Yeah.
What does it stop you doing? It's just say, for instance, do you like loud being in confined spaces, loud music, people talking loud?
I have
loud?
Been to nightclubs, yes, but I don't like it when it's overcrowded.
So let's deal with the negatives. What you can't do, what you don't want to do, what you don't.
I find
you
social,
feel uncomfortable.
I find social. I mean, if I'm not around people, which I'm not 100% comfortable with, I sort of my guard is up all the time. Okay. Even with work colleagues, 9 times out of 10, there are only a few work colleagues which I actually feel comfortable with.
Do you have a partner? Do you have a relationship?
No, I don't.
Have you ever had a relationship?
Once when I was about 18.
Okay. Has it stopped you?
I would love a relationship, but I can't afford it at the moment because I'm on such low pay.
That's a great answer. I don't know whether you see the funny side of that.
No, I don't.
That is just so. You know, I look at that and I think that is so humorous. And obviously, you don't see that.
No,
as
I don't.
That's being honest.
Yeah.
That's honest. I can't afford one at the moment. And is that the what you talking about empathy earlier?
Yeah,
on?
I am an honest person.
Yeah.
If I've done something wrong, I'll eagerly put my hand up to it.
Do you mind me laughing at that? What you
no,
just said?
No, not at all.
You don't feel awkward about it?
No.
Good, because I don't want to make you feel awkward.
No, it's fine. I mean, I'm so used to people just laughing at things and me wondering what is going on.
I'm not laughing at you embarrassingly. I'm laughing at because what you said
it's good
to me
what,
was
it's good
funny.
That, it's good what you it's good that you're saying. Look, I'm laughing with you, not at you.
Yeah.
And you're reinforcing it by just looking at me and then looking with a very gentle tone on your face.
Now this is always here.
No, but you seem like a very gentle person, if you don't mind me saying
well,
so.
Well, I don't mind you saying so at all, and thank you. I'd like to think that I was a kind
I mean,
of
I think
a
you are
person.
Generally a very nice person, and I respect you.
No, but the feeling is mutual. I got massive admiration for you, because I just think you're a really cracking bloke.
Well, thank you.
I think that
makes me put a tear in my eye.
And brave to come out and talk about things. I just think it's a wonderful thing, because I think other people can. And what we want, and I know that's what you want as well. I want, you know, other people will be listening to this. And we haven't taken many calls. I haven't even seen whether the light is flashing, because I'm fascinated by what you're saying. And I bet you that there are people out there that are listening to this. Hey, look, you know, we know that it might be a really difficult...
It can be.
Do we really expect a mother of, you know, someone that they may feel that may have Asperger's, autism, going to phone up on a live radio phone?
I mean,
it's difficult.
Yeah,
but,
it is.
But I bet you that that people will be listening and you'll be guiding them to websites.
Yeah, I mean, I've got some very good websites here, okay, and I'm just going to read off a couple. And, ladies and gentlemen, I have got some contact numbers. So, get a pen and paper ready. If you need me to repeat them, just ring in, tell me so, and I will do it. Because there is a branch of the National Autistic Society actually on the island. Okay, on the Isle of Wight. Now, I'm going to start off with that. The website is www.nasiow.btck.co.uk, and the contact, the lady who's in charge of the branch, her name is Jessica Higgins, and her mobile number is 07827 308768. There is also, here's another website, www.autismk care.com. The contact number for it is 0843 218 5562. And here's another one for you, www.autisminitiatives.org. Now, this is a charity for people with autism. They're based in Liverpool, but it could still help. And the contact number for that is 01 51 330 9500. And of course, you've got the Asperger's Foundation and the National Autistic Society, which are based in London. Now, the number of the National Autistic Society is 020 78 33 22 99. Or if you want to find any local events, because autism charities, they do local events, just put on Google or your web browser. This is specifically for Isle of Wight, obviously. Just put Isle of Wight Autistic onto your Google search engine, and I'll tell you now, there are so many different events which they'll tell you where there are events happening, and also prospects, which I think does need to be mentioned, because these charities, they also do courses for people, for employers. And I think, really, I did a test about a few years ago, and literally these testing people had actually heard of Asperger's, and they said majority wouldn't have heard of it, and they hadn't. And it was like, yowzers, it just flipping amazed me, horrified me. But prospects, www.prospects, that's prospects.org.uk. Now, they work in conjunction with the National Autistic Society. And also, you should be, I don't know, because I'm from the mainland, there might even be a branch, they might have something called the Isle of Wight Autistic Society. And I'll tell you now, by getting, this is to parents, by getting your son, children registered with them, I'll tell you now, because I've now got a social worker myself, to get a social worker and get somebody on my side, it can help massively, because they can open the doors, which you can't, they can open the doors to people, for people like myself, who need the help, I mean, there is something called Disability Living Allowance for severely autistic people, and things like that. And it's not just about benefits or anything like that. What it's about is knowing that you can speak to somebody who actually knows what they're talking about. Now, I'm perfectly willing, I'm still here, and I'll tell you now, if any of you people really want to speak to me about experiences, what you've had for your children, I know a lot of parents who are listening to this will think, oh gosh, it's scary to speak. Look, I take the view, I'm here to help make use of it, because I'm very eager to answer any questions you have. Because I'm somebody who is willing to help. So please feel free to make use of me, because I'm somebody who lives with Asperger's every day, like your children. And I think it's about time somebody helped you, because I know for some parents, it is a very scary world out there.
Hey, look, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. Got some messages Definitely. For you. All right, got some messages from people. It's 9 minutes to 1. You're listening to Vectis Radio. It's Macca, Bex, and the legendary Seb here until 1 o'clock. And then it's Bob, who keeps having a go at those Speedway riders.
The Isle of Wight phone-in is powered by Wight Fibre. It's a fibre optic network, so you can rely on them to deliver the best in TV, broadband and phone services at an affordable price. Visit www.whitefibre.com.
Ready now? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hi, Chris Quinton here from Vapor Monkey Electronic Cigarettes. I'd like to take a moment of your time to talk about Stoptober. If you've been struggling to give up smoking yourself, or if there's somebody in your life who needs to stop, October is the month to jump into action. One of the main things about Stoptober is the length of the event. Statistically, you're far more likely to give up smoking for good if you can go without nicotine for 2 weeks. This event should therefore be more successful than the traditional no smoking day. We've plenty of nicotine products for sale, which can help you get your Stoptober started. Find our website at www.vapormonkey.com or phone me directly on 07956 448 382. We look forward to hearing from you.
Red Squirrel Lettings and sales agents have established themselves on the island as the first choice for landlords and tenants. Each client is given undivided, friendly but professional attention. Focusing on lettings, sales and property management, our experienced team offer a bespoke service to landlords, tenants and vendors at very competitive prices. Thinking about selling, letting or even moving? Then speak to Red Squirrel Property Shop. They are nuts about properties. Call 01983 521212 or check out www.redsquirrelpropertyshop.co.uk.
Hello, Old Bean. Oso Vintage are the island's specialist vintage shop featuring fashion accessories from deco to disco, along with vintage bits and bobs. There's also a selection of 40 specialist island memories in their Island Memories Oso Vintage range. Pop in for a rummage. Open Mondays to Saturdays, 9:30 till 5. You can find them at 17 Pier Street in Ventnor. Or telephone them on 01983 856 770. Or check out the website www.osovintageiow.co.uk. Toodle pip.
Eyes down, it's bingo night. Thursday nights at the Isabel Centre. Start 7:30 p.m. It's 50 pence entry. More info at www.theisabelcentre.co.uk.
The Riverside Centre offers a range of rooms and facilities for you to hire individually or as a group or even a business, as well as ample and designated parking. Our rates are extremely competitive and we can provide catering tailored to meet your needs. Our team are here to help you make your event or business meeting a success. To find out more, telephone 01983 822 209. Or check out www.riversidecentre.org.uk.
Isle of Wight Food Bank provides emergency food and support to local people in crisis. Your support helps stop local people going hungry. For more information, ring the office on 01983 292 040 or check out isleofwightfoodbank.org.uk/.
Dead's better. White Fibre, the local fibre optic broadband supplier. Challenge us to beat your current deal.
WhiteFibre.com.
Marco here, just informing you, should you have missed one of my shows or you want to listen to it again, anywhere, anytime, the clever chaps have come up with the answer here at Vectis. Just click the listen again button, up will come the shows, select my show, one click, and there we are. It's as simple as that. Technology, not half.
This is Vectis Radio. Follow us on Twitter, Vectis Radio IOW.
The Isle of Wight phone-in is powered by White Fibre, providers of next-generation TV, crystal clear HD with live pause, rewind and recording. Call them on 240 240.
Okay, it's we've just got a few minutes left of the phone in today, although more of an interview, and what a fabulous interview you've given. So many people have mentioned and sent me messages. I just want to read a couple of them. Hi all, impressive the way that Seb has taken control of his life and his ability to put across his views and feelings. Top man, that's from Sven.
Oh, thank okay. you.
And this is one from Mrs. J. Let me just pull this up. I just want to say thank you, Seb, and well done for doing this interview. I'm sitting here hearing my story told, and I'm saying, yes, yes, that's it, yes. I am self-diagnosed and only did that a few years ago. I am constantly trying not to upset people, and sometimes I get it right. But other times I don't, and when I'm tired or emotional, it's worse.
So I agree with that 120,000%.
Right, okay. I would really love to call in, but I know I would just cry and babble.
Look,
today.
Look, talking to the lady, I'd say this. I know it's not easy. I mean, if let me tell, I was nervous as anything. And I did another one like this. My answer is to that. You're talking to somebody with Asperger's. If you did cry on it, my attitude is, I'd be completely understanding because, you know, you and I, we are similar people because we share a condition which we know can be very unpredictable at times. We can't always predict how we're going to be because we don't know what we're going to encounter.
True. Can I finish with the email?
Yeah, hell yeah. Sorry.
That's all right. I would really love to call him, but I know I would just cry and babble today, so I will not call. So had to mail in as it's the next best thing. Everything Seb is saying is me. Thank you. And there's a couple of kisses there as well.
Ah, thank you.
Hey, look, we've run out of time. I just want to say this. I've met pop stars, politicians, you name it, you know, met, interviewed and so on, but you are probably the most fascinating, interesting, nice, kind gentleman that I've ever interviewed. And I'm so glad that you've appeared on the show today. I really am. And
well, one thing I would really love to do is Autism Awareness Month, which is in, I believe it's around April. I would love to appear again at this beautiful and wonderful radio station, because I think you, as a presenter, I give you 1,000 out of 1,000.
Well, that's very kind of you. Very, very kind of you. At the end,
hey,
of
look, I call things the way I see it.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah,
I really do. Hey, look, it's almost 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Anytime. Let's put it this way: when I'm next on the island, if I could do. And I'm next on the island, if I would love to do another radio show, because then by that time, if people want to speak to me, I would love to just give them the opportunity just to ring in and say, talk to me about what their feelings are, because at the end of the day, I'm somebody, I live and breathe Asperger's 24/7. I'm perfectly willing to help as many people as I can. In fact, helping people gives me a buzz. It gives me a thrill on, give me kicks.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Banks, you better just have the final word. She's still here.
I'm still here. I'll talk tomorrow on my show, but to be honest, there was nothing I wanted to add. I just wanted to listen, you know.
Okay. So. Thank you.
One thing I've got to say, I've loved doing this, and I think everybody here at Vectis Radio gives a big thumbs up
thank
from
you.
Me.